The scripture reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and it can be found on page 157 of your pew Bible. Please stand. Now this is the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we close our scripture readings, we say, the lector says, the word of God, and we reply, thanks be to God, or any number of other things. Last week, we talked about how Christianity is a revealed religion. It is dependent upon a God who, in love and graciousness, seeks us and seeks to disclose to us, reveal to us, God's will, God's purpose, and God's love. The primary place where we learn of this God is not in creation. It's not even from the church, though often the church can teach exactly that. It's not from our parents, though they are an essential part of that teaching. It's not even from our own reason or feelings that we will primarily learn of this God who loves, cares, and has purpose and design for us. It is through something called the Scripture. The Word of God. But we need to think about this very carefully for a variety of reasons. For a variety of reasons, we could become very confused and very perturbed, and almost to the point where we would set aside God's Word in a way that was not helpful. There are lots of tensions, then, for us to live between. Extremes within which we have to find our comfort level, so to speak. It has often been said and made criticism of the United Methodist tradition and other Methodist traditions that we don't believe in the Bible. Let me, from the pulpit, speaking with the authority of the church, tell you flat out that United Methodists hold the Bible as the primary revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Anybody who tells you otherwise is telling you a lie. Period. It's set aside in our doctrine, and it reads in its simplest form from our doctrinal standards, we believe the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments, reveals the Word of God so far as necessary for our salvation. And that's an important distinction. It is to be received through the Holy Spirit as the true rule and guide for faith and practice. Whatever is not revealed in or established by Holy Scripture is not to be made an article of faith, nor is it to be taught as essential to salvation. That's where it stands. It is the center. It is where we begin to encounter this God who reveals God's self to us. There is no other place to begin. You might say, well, we begin with Christ, the Word of God before all. And you would be right in that sense, but where else do you learn of Christ but in the Scriptures? You say from the church, but where did the church learn it? From the Scripture. You would say of your parents, but where did your parents learn it? From Scripture. And where did the writers of Scripture learn? Well, we talk about that endlessly. We believe that somehow God has inspired in human form words that lead us to discover this God who reveals God's self. How was that inspiration worked out? We really don't know. What we do know is that over the years, the 66 books of the Old and New Testament have revealed consistently what we needed to know for salvation. And that's an important distinction. Now, what are our other options? What are our tensions? Because we have to live between a couple of tensions. One, there are some people who say that the Bible is the literal, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Everything in the Bible is true exactly as written. There can be no movement away from it. It is what it is. It is nothing but the exact Word of God. But what does the Bible itself say about that? Well, I'm sorry, but at the first chapter the first chapter of John's Gospel, in the first few verses, we hear that Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. That Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the Word. And He was there before all else, and all things were made through the Word. So, the Bible, the 66 books of printed text, is the Word of God only in a secondary way. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. The text, those 66 books, are the Word of God that testify to Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. We do not believe that the Bible, worshipped and unread and idolized, will save us. We believe Jesus Christ saves us, and it is Scripture that reveals to us the salvation in Christ that we need. Now, that means we hold Scripture at the very center. It is the beginning point. It is the core. We cannot relegate Scripture to any number of other sacred texts or interesting texts. We cannot hold Scripture as just one of many. It is the core of our belief, of our faith, revealing to us all things necessary for salvation, which ought to give us a clue. It does not reveal to us necessarily scientific or historic information that will be as accurate as historians and scientists would want it to be. Scripture does not have to measure up to scientific standards, which, by the way, are human-made, or historical research standards, which are human-made. They make no pretension to being a book that has all the answers for every question you have about the world. It will not tell you every answer that you want to have, or it will not answer every question that you could raise. What the Scripture reveals is what God wants you to know about salvation. And in that, it is the true and faithful record of God's outreach to us. It makes no mistakes, and it is infallible in issues of salvation. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we have to know all the theology that we could know? Does that mean that there are no hard and difficult passages in the Bible? No, it does not mean that at all. But what it does mean is that most people can read the Bible and, using their sense and the words that are there, and by the power of the Spirit, they can discern, each of you, each of us can discern God's revelation, outreaching of love to you. That means that you do not need to have me to interpret it for you or anybody else, that you can read it and you will benefit. Now, one thing that United Methodists may have done, it may be that we don't necessarily believe, or we do believe in the Bible, but it would be a good question to ask, do we read the Bible? Now, don't raise your hands to this, just answer this question to yourself. Do you read the Bible every day? Or is the only Bible that you hear or read what you hear on Sunday? Now, it's an important question to ask. For you to be a faithful Christian and a faithful United Methodist, faithful to who John Wesley is, you should be reading the Bible every day, or at least very regularly. Now, the question would be then, when I read the Bible, how should I understand what I read? John Wesley, as well as the church through the ages, has had a very specific way of reading Scripture that is very fruitful for discovering what it says about salvation. It's called the analogy of faith. Has anybody here ever heard of that analogy of faith? No? It's simply this. There are three things that you need to ask, or that will be discovered in Scripture. Three primary doctrines: original sin, the justification by faith, and sanctification. Write them down if you feel like it. Try to remember them: original sin, justification by faith, sanctification. Aren't they nice big church words? Anybody know what they mean? I don't. Well, yeah, I do. Let's put it in simpler language. The first one, original sin. Just call it, what is it like to be a human being? How would you describe what it's like to be a human being? And you'll find that in the Scripture. When you hear in Scripture, in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought that? Where's God in this? Sure. Scripture will reveal to you what it means to be human beings. Scripture will reveal our condition, which is sometimes that we are at odds with God. That sometimes what we do does not measure up to what God commands. Isn't that what the Ten Commandments are about? Scripture helps us understand what the human condition is, what it means to be human. Scripture doesn't tell us lies like, oh, human beings will make it all better. Scripture doesn't tell us that when human beings are working at something, they come up with a great idea. Scripture doesn't tell us that humans progress. Scriptures are very clear that on the whole, human beings do not follow God. It describes the human condition, how it is transmitted, and how it embraces each of us is up for debate. Suffice it to say, if you're a human being, Scripture will give an account of what it means to be a human being who has fallen from God. The second step is justification by faith. That's a fancy, fancy set of words. What it really means is what God has done about the human condition. What has God done about human beings that have fallen away from God? God has sent His Son, who lived, taught, and died on the cross, overcoming death and forgiving our sin, and raised again for new life. This is not something that human beings accomplish on their own. The resolution to our human condition, the dilemma we find ourselves in, is a dilemma that we cannot work our way out of. It is not something where we need secret knowledge. It is not something where we can somehow think our way through. Our human condition is not a problem we can solve. It can only be fixed by a God who loves. And so God sent His only Son, that all who may believe in Him should have eternal life. Justification by faith. All who believe would be saved, just as if you had never sinned. Justification by faith, justification is what God has done for us. And in response, we respond in faith, accepting what God has done. That's what it means. Thirdly, sanctification. Wonderful word, full of all sorts of stuff. What does it mean? It means that because you are born anew to a new life, it means that you are to grow in Christ, to grow in love and charity, to grow in spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness, to grow from the sinner that you were in your fallen state to the forgiven and beloved saint that God has called you to be. Scripture tells us what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be a person who grows in faith, a person who grows in love, and a person who grows into perfection. Not perfection that is mistake-free, but perfection that is love. And that, friends, is the analogy of faith. The human condition, our need, God's response, Jesus Christ, and our willingness to live a new life in the power of the Spirit, growing in spiritual maturity. When you read Scripture, this is what Scripture will reveal to you. The Holy Spirit penned, in whatever way was necessary, these words so that you and I and all who have come before and all who may come after, by approaching Scripture in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, will find a God who reaches out to embrace us, to love us. Please, please don't believe the lie that says to you, you cannot understand it when you read it. Please, please come to the scriptures and read it. And please ask the Spirit to guide you so that it can tell you the story, reveal to you the love, share with you and embrace with you the God who loves you. That's the United Methodist understanding of what Scripture is. Not a book to be idolized, and not a book to be cast away, but a book to be treasured, and by the power of the Spirit, read and taken to heart. Please, take it to heart.